to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 1 and 2. Okay, Ephesians 3. Right? Ephesians 3. For this cause, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote afore in few words, where may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that Christ should be of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, wherein a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, was to me, according to the effectual working of his power, unto me who am least than the least of all the saints, was this grace given, that I should preach Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which at the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the effectual working of, wait a minute, according to the eternal purpose, which you got ahead of me, Lord. We have access and access with confidence by the faith of him. For I not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth under, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3. Okay, well, we're doing better. Okay, let's have some prayer, and we will begin. All right, Heath Kreckelberg, lead us in prayer. Amen. Okay, well, this morning I thought we would give something to you that would help you be on the page with your children. Our morning Bible study devotions had to do with wisdom. And we spent one day in Proverbs 1 and talking about the need for wisdom, and one day in Proverbs 2 talking about how to get wisdom. And then we spent the last three mornings in Proverbs 14, 15, and 16, each chapter for a day, and related this to life. And we asked, we had young people delineate in that particular chapter what were the titles given to the wise man, what were the titles given to the foolish man, what were the actions of the wise man, and in contrast, the action of the foolish man. And then we asked them to take a review of that and see how many of those characteristics of the wise man or the foolish man were in their life. And I think it was quite revealing to all of us that all of us have a lot more foolishness in us than we would like to admit. And it was very interesting because Wednesday night, unbeknownst to Pastor Jeff Lee, he preached on wisdom himself. And he preached on, can't remember what chapter is that, chapter 10, A Wise Son Makes a Glad Father. And a very good message from God's Word, and certainly directed by the Lord. And okay, so we're going to talk about a few things. And our first thought here is, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? The book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay? Well, what is wisdom? Let's turn to James chapter 3 once. James chapter 3, verse 15, gives us a good insight into what wisdom is. Verse 15, this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. Notice it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Notice what it says about the wisdom of man. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. Wisdom is a spiritual and eternal perspective of life. Now, here you have man, and you know, the earth is a sphere, and at best, man's wisdom is limited by the horizon. You know, we're on a hill, and we can see, to the ridge on the other side of Mequonnon. Okay? But, if we were in the valley, we wouldn't be able to see very far at all, would we? We'd be able to see into the side of the hill, and that's it. And in a general sense, every man wisdom is limited to their horizon. Obviously, people get older, their experience in life has increased, right? Their horizon has expanded, okay? But it is still, limited, isn't it? Okay? And so, wisdom comes from God. And, he can see everything, can't he? He can see everything. So God's wisdom is vertical. And if you were, I was telling Jacob how, you look at, they're using these satellites, and they're taking images of the earth, and through these satellites, they're easily seeing ancient cities underneath the sand, underneath the ground. From man's standpoint, you can't tell that they're there. But you get way up there, and you see the different, obviously the different shades are very visible from far up, and they can tell where all these ancient cities are that have been lost under the sands, for centuries, because they have a vertical look, okay? And so wisdom is a spiritual, we need to emphasize that, is a spiritual, eternal perspective to life. Okay, and secondly, a wisdom is a skillful use of knowledge. Okay? Is a smart person necessarily wise? No. Okay? A smart person isn't necessarily wise. Okay? We live in a day in which people know a lot about the Bible, but they know very little about the use of the Bible. And I've heard different former students say that in their Bible class, the professor was always hesitant to say, to apply the Bible. They were hesitant to say, this means you ought not to do that, or this means you ought not to do that, or this means you ought not to do that. And what was missing? Wisdom. What was missing was wisdom, which is the skillful use of knowledge. And many times we know what the Bible says, but we don't live it very well. Well, we aren't very wise, are we? Okay. So here's a simple question. Who needs wisdom? Now, many chapters in this book start with this phrase. And so here we have the principle that who needs wisdom? Young people. Okay, and we'll get there in a minute. But the fact is the Bible just for young people? Who needs wisdom? Everyone. Everybody needs wisdom. Now, pretty simple thing. Why do we need wisdom? Because we are born without wisdom. Right? We are born without wisdom. Okay, what does Proverbs 22:15 say? Not only are we born without wisdom, we are born with what? We are born with foolishness. Okay? We're born with foolishness. And the Bible says the rod of correction will drive it far from them. What about a person that has not been corrected by their parents? Are they going to have more foolishness typically than others? Yeah. Okay. All right. Why do we need wisdom? Number three, because not only were we born without wisdom, not only were we born foolish, but God's word is the only pure source of eternal truth. Bible is the only source of God's eternal truth. And, obviously there's byproducts of that. But where else are you going to get wisdom? You aren't going to get wisdom apart from God's eternal word. And man isn't able to think of truth on his own. Like that verse in 1 Corinthians, what is it, 2:9? I have not seen, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay? It's kind of interesting. Oftentimes, people use as an excuse of life, well, I've always loved the Lord. Anybody? You go out talking to people. Ever heard that? I've always loved the Lord. But what is missing in that statement? What's many times missing in that statement is a need for a revelation that comes from God. You understand what I'm saying? Missing in that statement is the need for man to get truth from God. I hath not seen, ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God's revealed them unto us by his word. And I've heard that phrase oftentimes in this context. People who don't go to church very often. And they don't see any need to go to church. And they just say, well, I just want you to know I really love the Lord. Well, huh?
Their
Lord. But, they're talking about Jesus. But they say, I really love the Lord. But, what are they really saying? They're really saying, well, I really don't need wisdom from God. I don't see myself as born without wisdom. I don't see the foolishness that's in my heart. I'm willing just to go on in life and be ignorant of God's ways. And that it's amazing how And I just read a statement from David Cloud yesterday how existentialism has overtaken Christianity. And existentialism has to do with this, the feeling of God, and and is contradictory and eliminates the principle of truth. That's where we're at today, isn't it? And existentialism is just an old-time pagan philosophy. When I was in Bible college, they were talking about existentialism and Soren Kierkegaard and how that was coming into Christianity. Well, now people aren't reading Soren Kierkegaard. They're just reading the normal Christian book that goes to a Christian bookstore or listening to CCM or whatever. It's feeling and has nothing to do with it. And it almost is an elimination of the principle of eternal truth. Okay? What is a stronger principle? A God who is a God of eternal truth versus a God that, word this? The feeling that comes from God. That one, the second one can be very elusive and deceptive, can't it? Wally.
And with the feelings too here, it is what I feel. It is what I think God is and ought to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It's my own creation.
So, yes, how many people have, what is a person's view of God? How many people have a different definition of God? And, they say, you witness to Hindus, and they would be glad to put Jesus on their shelf of gods, right? All right? Because what is their view of God? All right? Now, let's go to America. Is America's view of God becoming more and more pagan? All right? And so when we witness to people, we have to be careful. Because we don't know if they have a Bible definition of God or not. That's why you can have a rock concert and people say they're turning to God. Well, because their definition of God is different than the definition of the God of the Bible. Okay? Well, that wasn't meant to be the... But when people say they love the Lord, that is a very elusive statement. Okay? And that many times is an excuse or a cover-up or a statement of says, I'm really smart. I don't have any foolishness in me. I can depend upon myself. I don't need to find out the truth of the Bible. Okay, so let's go to where do we get wisdom? So you have to pretend like we talked about this before. Okay. All right, where do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? Let's go to Proverbs. Where do we get wisdom? We get the wisdom from God. Notice it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that phrase, the fear of the Lord, I say is a statement of a personal relationship with God. It's a statement about a personal relationship with God. Isn't it amazing today that we have met so many people who say they have a relationship with God, but they don't have the fear of the Lord? And here it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I would say this is a statement of a personal relationship with God. Obviously, we get wisdom from God's Word. Okay? We get wisdom from God's Word. And wisdom, let me find the verse, which I didn't underline. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. I think we'll get there sooner or later. All right? Now, I think this was a very convicting thing for all of us on the retreat, is how do we get wisdom? Okay, so in the Bible, a conditional statement is started with what word? Anybody here? A conditional statement to start with the word? If. Okay, there's the condition. And a conditional statement is followed by a resultant statement. All right? So you meet the conditions, then you get the results. All right? Now, we're typical Americans, right? We want the results without meeting the conditions. Right? We want the results without meeting the conditions. Now, what's sobering about this is these are the conditions that God has set down. Kind of simply put, the conditions, if we can put it in simple words, how you read or study the Bible. This is basically the conditions. All right? Now, we have a broad range of thinking today. All right? We have a broad range of Christianity that many people don't even read their Bible. And then you have that broad range of Christianity where they don't even take their Bible to church. I remember Brother Al, he got saved. And he was being influenced, obviously, away from here. And he went to a church. And we're praying for him. And a couple weeks later, he came back as a baby Christian. And he said where he had been. And I said, whatever. And he said, well, I knew I was in the wrong place when the people didn't bring their Bible church. Evangelical church. Biggest one in the area. But they didn't bring their Bible to church. He says, I knew I was in the wrong place because they didn't have a Bible with them. Now we have that broad perspective. We have the perspective that many times some of us, even as very devoted Christians, we read the Bible every day. But we don't read it like the Bible says we're supposed to. So, what are conditions for wisdom? Proverbs chapter 2, let's name them. What are the conditions? If thou wilt, what? Receive. How do you do that? What was that? Okay. Really, the idea is the idea of reception. Okay. Now you know what I mean. You talk to your child And they didn't hear you. Okay? You tell your child something and they didn't hear it. Okay? You know, you can have two people in this church. And one person will say, you know, what does the Bible say about such and such? I don't know if the Bible says that. And then the other person says to him, what do you mean? You don't know what the Bible says. I heard it, and you were there too. I know what the Bible says. How can you say, I don't know what the Bible says? Well, that happens right in this church. Happens right in this church. Two people hear the same message, and one person leaves here and says, well, the Bible doesn't say that. And the other person, they say, oh, I know what the Bible says. The other person says, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Well, what was the difference? Reception. Reception. And it is really, it's with this whole idea of willingness to obey. That's the key. Okay? So, reception. What's the second one? Anybody here? Hide. How do you do that? Of course, you could memorize it and not hide it very well. You could memorize it, not hide it very well. But hiding it is with the idea of learning it, memorizing it, so you don't lose it. So you don't lose it, okay? And so it's included within that is obviously. Meditation. You know, you're driving it deep within our soul. Okay. Three. Incline thy ear. Well, that's again a system of listening. You know, it's called selective hearing. Right? Selective hearing. Yeah, Thomas. You know, and I'm not, and now most people are in the back, so don't take this offensively. But you know, you get a new believer, and they're right up front. I mean, if they really get saved. They're right up front. They don't want to miss anything. You know, the farther back you can get, it's easier to miss anything you want. Isn't it? Farther back you get, it's easier to miss. It takes a whole lot more work in the back than in the front. But, so the question is, are you sitting in the back because you want to work harder at coming to church? Is that, you know what I'm saying? Do you want to work harder? Because, you know, you can't watch your clock and say, okay, that little kid's been, that kid went to the bathroom 5 minutes ago. You laugh. I'm sure there's people that do it. You know what? That's hard to listen if you aren't working at it. And so this is, now we're not talking about necessarily being church, although this is obviously true. This is how we read the Bible. You know, we incline our ear. That's a personal decision, isn't it? You know, oftentimes I read my Bible, and I say, oh, I know what's in that. I know what is in that last chapter, and I don't remember reading it. I just read it, but I don't remember reading it. Well, obviously, my ear wasn't inclined very well, was it? So, we better get moving here. All right? Apply thine heart. What does it say? If you cry. What's the difference between crying and talking? What's the difference? Level of intensity, isn't it? Did it say talk? No, it said cry. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Then it says, search for her as search for her as silver. I'm sorry. Seek. And then the next word is to search. Well, obviously these are parallel phrases, but when you're searching, you're leaving nothing unturned. When you seek, this speaks about effort. Seek for her as gold. You know, I told Jacob, I said, you know, in the San Francisco Bay in 1848, 1849, the San Francisco Bay was so full of ships that no of people coming on ship to California to search for gold, abandoning their ships in the bay and rushing off to the hills to search for gold. The bay was so full of ships they had to set them on fire in order to make for a shipping lane. People sold everything they had, bought a boat, and got to California one way or the other, and one of the ways was by ship. And when they got there, they abandoned their ship and went to the hills. Well, that talks about it. That talks about some intense effort, doesn't it? And so notice the what the Bible says. Now, these are the conditions. How often do we meet those conditions? Wally?
Pastor, it says in the Bible here, I will keep thy word in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And I think this is all one thing in a nutshell. But if we read the word of God and what it says, that we apply it to our heart, and it's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Bible says the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Well, if the Holy Spirit doesn't have the sword, and in our life, does the Holy Spirit in our life automatically get the sword? No. We have to put it in His hand. You know, how can the Holy Spirit work in our life if we don't have the Word of God in our life, in our mind? You know, the devil spirit is out there, the fake spirit. He can lead us anywhere he wants if we don't have truth, right? But these are some efforts, okay? So, you know, I guess we could be honest. We could say, when was the last time I went to the Bible, to my devotions, and I cried to God? I really cried to God to give me wisdom. You know, how many times do we go to our study in the Bible with that kind of intensity? And, of course, it applies to any effort that we have to learn God's Word. Okay? Notice the then. Verse number 5. It says, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wow. Do we take our knowledge of God as conditioned on this? What? Okay, again, putting it in context today, what do people get? Where do they get their knowledge of God from today? It should be the Bible. But what is it? Their own thinking? TV? The world? What's the biggest definer of who God is that people put into their life today, young people? Music. You see, people who have a wrong definition of God can listen to CCM music. People who, and if they have somewhat of a good definition of God, if they listen to CCM music, pretty soon they're going to have a bad definition of God. And I guarantee you, this is missing in their life. But the fact is, what can we say? Because most of the time it's missing in our lives. So let's look at the thens. I think that's really important. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of the Lord. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's referring to the Bible. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Notice, what is he saying? Notice something that he is saying here that that goes along with all of this. He says, those who walk uprightly. Notice the parallel. This implies obedience. Okay? It says, verse 9. Now, here's another one. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Then thou shalt understand righteousness. Okay, what is righteousness? Would be a simple definition of what's right, of righteousness. What is right? Right? Is there a big question today? What's right? There's a big question today of what's right. But notice, it didn't, it comes from meeting the conditions. Then it says, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment. Now, the word judgment is the word that I like to say it. It puts a distance between. Okay? This person says, well, this is right. And then this person says, well, this is right. And, so they're just like this, right? One person says it right. Another person, they say that what they believe is right. And, they look like that, right? What does judgment do? Judgment says, no, this is clearly wrong. Judgment says, this is clearly right. But where there isn't wisdom, what do you have? You got two so-called rights look like they're both right. Judgment says, no. And that's what a judge does, isn't he? A judge does that. Person goes to the courtroom and he says, I'm right. And this person says, I'm right. And the judge has to make a decision. No, that's wrong. That's clearly wrong. This is clearly right. Judgment. Notice again, that is a very essential thing in life. Notice it says, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity. That which is equal or equitable. Okay? People have a real hard time figuring out what is equitable today. Okay? Now, let's a statement that you hear all the time. What does the scorner say about going to church? The scorner says, all they want is your, right? Why? Because to them, spiritual things don't have any value. To them, the only thing that has value is what? Money, the physical. Okay? And Proverbs is a great book to distinguish the fact that, you know what? The physical, that is really unimportant. The spiritual, that is really important. But without God's wisdom, people get it all mixed up. And certainly the world is. But notice it says, when wisdom enters into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, this is implied then discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So where do you get discernment from? God's word. And the fear of the Lord. Okay? Verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. All right? Here's a parent says to their son, nope, you aren't hanging around that person. And they say, why? What's the difference? Wisdom. Wisdom. Discernment. And the parent sees what the child doesn't see. What's the difference? Wisdom. Okay? Now, we live in a day of a lack of discernment. And really, it is spiritual blindness. It's serious. It says, deliver thee from the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Do you know the power of words? Do you know the power of words? In the Bible, the scorner is known by his ability to say words that stick with people and really cut at the truth of the Bible and bring people into bondage. You know, there's a lot of phrases that people use, and they control people, and they're froward words, okay? Froward, well, I don't know. There's a lot of things you could say, like that phrase, all they want is your money. That's a lie. Now, I know there are some that do, because that's all they got to offer. Yes? Just like the devil said, hath God said. Okay. Probably you've heard some more than I. People don't say those things in front of me too often. Yes, David. Okay, it's perverted. And you go to the blogs out there, got a lot of perverted words out there. And they'll say, they're all hypocrites, every one of them. They're all hypocrites. Or something like that. And you could, I guess, someone got me, help me here. Yes. You love God's word more than you love God. Yeah. Yeah, that's a real pious word, is a statement. Yeah. And it's powerful, but it's totally untrue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. None? Okay. So, what are the results? Number one, discernment. Number two, purity. Number three, see, separation. To deliver thee from the evil man. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Separation. You know, a foolish man thinks that he can pick up coals and not have his hands burned. And D, obviously, victory. Okay, our time is up. Went faster than I thought it was going to go. Get meddling on some of this stuff, and time goes by real quick. All right, so the real question is, now we learn some things. Most of us know these things. But the real reality is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to do like we normally do in Sunday school? Well, I learned something, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Well, that's a mistake, isn't it? That's called intellectualism. And that is a subtle form of pride. I know this, but I'm not going to do anything about it. I know the Bible a little bit better now, but I'm not going to do anything. And really, we need to honestly face ourselves as, how do we really read our Bible? Maybe it could be applied as, how do we really come to church? You know, what are we really trying to get when we come to church? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll bless your word. And, Lord, these are sobering but exciting truths on your word. And Lord, help us to see the truth that we are not born with wisdom. We are born with foolishness and a perverted type of foolishness because we're born sinners. And Lord, so I pray that there would be a renewed hunger in our lives for wisdom to enter into our lives through your word. Help us not to deceive ourselves. Help us to realize the conditions are real and legitimate. And if we don't meet them, then we will not get the results. So bless your word and service to follow, your people. May you do a work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.